Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey guys, it's Cody here. Before we get started, do you love DC movies, shows, and comic books? Well, we have good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Read over 20,000 digital comics, catch up on original series like Titans, and starting November 29th, watch their newest adult animated series, Harley Quinn. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Collider Live is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the United States.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes. I'm Roxy Stryer. Rocking out in a white sweater just feels wrong. It doesn't feel like I'm supposed to be jamming the way that I am.
It's after Labor Day. Can't wear white.
You thank me for that.
I was like, well, I believe that it. I believed you.
Because of that, you will get introduced last.
Yes!
The most evil person across from me, Darina.
Buenos dias, Roxy.
Been sucking blood this morning and a little
caught
on your lip?
Definitely. I missed you. Like, I always miss you when you're gone. Thursday,
you seem
Friday.
Surprised.
Yeah, I know.
I miss
you. No, well,
you?
I don't miss. I'm not supposed to miss my coworkers, but I guess I do miss you.
What is this
I see
feeling?
You too much. No, I'm kidding.
This is true.
I miss.
See myself.
In my soul, I missed. What is this emotion I feel?
Hunger.
Oh.
Yeah,
I want to eat you. That is what I was thinking about.
Yes.
Mark Riley being all rude and shit already.
I'm in a funky mood, I guess. I thought it was going to be a rough Monday, but apparently I'm hanging in there.
You're in a Monday mood.
You got
a case of the Mondays.
It's because it's getting close to time off, which is nice.
True.
And I recharged the battery a little bit this weekend, so got a lot of rest. So that's good.
All right. Yeah. Well, I wonder if he got any rest with the baby at home. Mm. Cody Hall.
Oh,
nice segue.
Oh, nope. No, I did not.
Aww. Not surprised by that.
Nope.
Also, for the first time in weeks, Alex Marzoni and I are on the same show.
Hey!
Hi, Alex. Guys, he's been avoiding me. Is it something I said?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. He's been avoiding us for the AFIs.
Wow, he won't even answer the question.
Yeah.
Alex, don't answer the question.
Just silence.
The silence.
Silence. You're on camera.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh shit!
You got sassy Cody and sassy Alex, and now sassy Mark.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of annoyed with Alex himself because I saw him posting pictures, seeing Marriage Story, and
I
want to see Marriage Story, and
me too.
That just seems rude of him to do to us.
How dare he?
Alex, did you love it?
I've seen it twice in theaters, so yes, I loved it.
Where's well, shit.
Oh,
there
good
it is. Thank you.
Exactly.
You.
Mm-hmm. Good for
yeah,
you.
I agree with Christian Bale.
I did go see a movie this weekend.
Oh, good for you.
That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, that's right. You did not like it as much as I did, huh?
No.
Oh.
So I saw two movies, actually.
Oh, okay,
since I've seen you guys last, I've seen two movies. The one I was just going to say was...
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty good for me. I was going to say the one that I just saw was... See, I tried to... Okay. It was Parasite.
Oh.
Yay.
I just saw Parasite. And I went to the movie theater feeling like, okay, I will either go see Parasite or I will see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Because that's right.
They were both playing and I'd heard both were amazing. Mm-hmm. I was going to see Charlie's Angels, but I was by myself. And Charlie's Angels feels like a good girl gang movie to go to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just kind of was like, what am I going to do, like fist pump alone? I could have.
Fist bump your popcorn.
But I think that's just fisting your popcorn.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't really think you can fist.
And there
well, yeah,
we are.
Then that's the popcorn trick, right?
For you.
Oh, like with the penis on the
yeah
inside? Now I get what you're saying.
Keep them coming, Cody.
Yeah.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never pulled that one. Seemed like a buttery penis waiting to happen. Salty penis.
This is so awesome. Keep going.
I saw Parasite, and you guys like totally screwed me over.
Why?
Oh.
Because you thought it was going to be amazing and you thought it was just okay or something?
Yeah, that. Exactly that. I mean,
damn
like,
it.
This movie, it was totally good. It was like fine. It was good.
5-star review, Rox.
It was just the way that people were talking about it made it seem like it was gonna be this like ridiculously original concept, which I feel like I had seen before.
The hype got to you.
The hype got to me, yeah. And then also I was so frustrated the whole movie that I almost walked out twice.
Oh,
oh shit!
Because I'm a really slow reader, and this was ridiculously dialogue heavy, and I can't keep up with the subtitles. Like, that's a me problem. Obviously, that's not the movie's problem. It's not their job to cater to dumbass dyslexic people like me, but like I could not keep up, and it was so frustrating because I had to choose at one point either you watch what's happening or you read the subtitles.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's interesting about subtitles, because since I grew up watching movies in English but with subtitles, so when I was learning English, when I only knew Spanish, it was hard for me. So I relate that way, where I was like, I can't read that fast. So I kind of, as a kid, got used to reading people's emotions more so than the words sometimes. So I feel like I kind of do that sometimes, but I obviously missed a bunch of crap.
Yeah, but this family had weird ass emotions.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh yeah, I know what you're feeling right now. They're smiling when they're sad, they're crying when they're happy. Yeah. Like, the movie was good. It was a solid movie that everybody is saying is not only the best movie of the year, but is the best movie of the decade. And I just don't see that.
What's the best movie of the decade to you?
Life Itself.
Oh. That's
fine.
That's no, your
I don't
opinion.
Know. I don't
That's
know what fine. I know that was the best movie of last year, but I don't know what the best movie of the decade is. What is the best movie of the decade, Mark Riley?
Mad Max Fury Road.
I don't know either. I would have to. I'd have to think about it for a long time.
Mad Max.
Cody, best movie of the decade?
Social Network, Inception.
What's Mark?
Those are mine.
Are you speaking yet or no?
I'm going to go with La La Land.
Did Scott Mansers pay you?
Yeah, I couldn't do La La Land.
Scott, you here?
There it is.
Holy shit. Did you guys know that I was sitting next to him for that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
it's on video. Really, really great moment. Well, I'm kind of sad you didn't love Parasite, but that happens to me all the time. Anyways, when I recommend a movie to a friend, so it's like, man, I'm glad
but
you liked it.
I didn't dislike it.
Right. You just didn't think it was amazing.
Totally well done and well performed, at least from what I saw. And you know, it worked. Uh-huh. It worked.
So
out.
It was fucking brilliant to me.
Is it landing anywhere on your lists? Like top 5, top 10, top 20, top 25.
I guess maybe like top 25 of the year.
Wow.
Maybe.
There's a lot of movies in the year.
I saw a lot of movies this year. I have a top 10 so far. I keep it on my phone. It's an ongoing list that I swap things out. Yeah.
You know what just knocked out? You know, I saw Knives Out at that Collider screening, and that totally just made my top 10.
It was great, right?
I really fucking
it was excellent. I think that, I think that movie was really phenomenal.
Do you know what I just saw finally? Booksmart, and it is in my
excellent.
Top
that's in my
five.
Top. That's in my top five as well.
Same.
Yeah. I thought that movie was great.
It floored me. It was so.
It's
good.
It's like
it
this generation's
me.
Like John Hughes or Dazed and Confused style movie.
Yeah,
I loved it so much.
Bit
if,
of
like
John
if
Hughes.
I was a teenager, oh, I would have been obsessed with it.
I am a teenager.
We all are. None of us become adults. We're all just stop growing.
I make statements like that all the time, and then we just move forward. Like,
yeah, no, because we all agree. We're like, we all are. Yes,
it's fine. I also saw another movie this weekend, though, guys. Or I guess before the weekend.
Okay. Oh, good for you.
Thank you again. I saw it on Thursday, so I didn't see. Mm-hmm. I saw a movie on Thursday.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And it was really good for me.
Okay.
For you. Mm-hmm.
That movie was Queen and Slim.
Okay.
Lena Waithe wrote it, and Daniel Kaluuya is starring in it. It was not on my radar at all. Randomly, day of, 2 hours before, got informed of a press screening and was like, it's on my way home. I guess I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's got a good cast.
Yeah.
Good,
I looked at Rotten Tomatoes. I saw that there were only 10 reviews on it at the time and that it had 100%. So I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. I guess I'll check this thing out. So effing good.
Yeah. Sweet.
Made my top 10 of the year so far.
Can you tell us what it's about a little bit?
Yeah. They say it in the trailer, which is – the trailer's not good. But they're like, oh, so you guys are the Black Bonnie and Clyde. Mm. It's kind of like that. Okay. But way more – nuanced, and it feels like it could be a real story, but it's not. I like looked it up a bajillion times because I was like, I swear to God, this is like in the news. And there's elements of it that definitely you've seen before, but parts of it that you don't. You care so much about these two people. It's insane. They just do an excellent job of in a very short period of time, making you fall in love with these characters and root for them really hard, despite all of the other things that are going on in the world. I could not recommend this more.
Great.
Do you know what I've
been seeing a lot of these reactions.
I want to see that too. But do you know what I've noticed, Roxy? I feel like because you did, what was that movie that you're like, I didn't like it? The Last Christmas, right? That Roca loved? It seems like if you like the characters in the movie for you to like the movie, right? Like you have to root for them.
Well,
is that not true?
No, because I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't know. I can't think of a movie off the top of my head right now where I hate the Knives Out. You hate them all. Right. I hated a ton of them, but I still was liked the movie. But if a movie is trying to make you feel something at your core, mm-hmm. then I need to feel something at my core. Mm-hmm. And Last Christmas is trying to pull on my heartstrings, and I have never felt more heartless.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you can't touch me.
Manipulating you in a way?
No.
I mean, for Last Christmas.
No.
No?
All right. No. Ooh. No, because...
Are you sure? No. Are you sure? Maybe God. Yes. No.
No! God!
I could not be happier with Cody today.
Yeah. Please, no!
Here's why.
No!
My biggest pet peeve...
No!
...is when people use the word manipulation...
No! Okay, sorry about that.
...when it comes to art.
Ah.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to manipulate me.
Yeah.
Duh.
Welcome to movies.
That's what a fucking movie is.
That's literally what a film composer does.
That is what a song is. Yeah. That is what a TV show is. That is what a movie is. You are trying to use your art to change people's feelings. Yep. What's another word for change? Yeah. Manipulate.
Why
do you think Baby Yoda exists?
Manipulation.
To make me happy.
Yeah. And solely to sell toys. Yeah.
I want the plush.
Yeah, and we all want it. We all want Baby Yoda.
As long as you don't use a meme or a GIF, we're fine.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
do you guys hear about
that?
Do you guys hear about Disney being like the emperor? Because that's what they do now, and they're getting rid
it's
of
like,
copy.
When you got us some goodwill here with this Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And the fandom seems united around the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And you're sharing these gifts and everything, and then Disney's like, no, you can't do that.
What did they do? I didn't see. I just heard that people were getting pissed that other people were posting Yoda.
I think they were deleting Baby Yoda gifts from the entire internet because they're afraid of copyright issues because they don't have enough money, apparently.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
I know that you can't stand them, but I still love
them. Well, no, I love what they do. Like, I grew up as a huge Disney fan.
You hate the corporation.
Exactly.
I know. Stick it to the man. Dorina rocks.
I can't. I just can't not, man. There's so many fucking poor people.
What's your version of kicking ass and taking names? Sucking blood and crapping on Disney.
Trying to fit into Lizzo's purse from the AMAs.
Let's talk about it for a hot second. Let's talk about it. Riley, just curious if this cross streams over to you. Do you have any idea what we're referring to when we say Lizzo's tiny purse?
Yes.
It's a hard no. Cody, I'm going to need you to do your due diligence in the booth right now because this is worth seeing. Lizzo at the AMAs last night.
Yes, Lizzo's purse at the AMAs.
Cody, you know who Lizzo is?
Nope.
Okay.
But you're 27.
Yep. Still know who she is.
Alex?
Yeah, she was in Hustlers.
Oh, boom. My God. I can't. Wow. I can't live like this anymore.
Alex,
Dorina.
You're a musician.
So what of the small purse?
Let's talk.
Yeah.
Lizzo, first of all, is like literally the...
She's
Lizzo's everything.
Holy shit, that's a small purse.
Yeah, she wore a
tiny
purse.
She's carrying my self-esteem. It's so little.
Is that just her chapstick?
That's what I think it is, a lip product.
Okay.
I'm just going to breeze by what Dorina said because you're great and move forward. But, Lizzo is queen.
She's really fucking cool,
Lizzo's
man.
Amazing. If you don't know Lizzo, Lizzo is like the star right now. Yeah. She is the hottest of the hot. She has all of these like body positives, self-esteem, speaking of which, rocks it everywhere she goes. I'm obsessed with Lizzo.
Yeah. She's all about being positive about yourself to other people. She's fucking cool, man. She's talented as fuck.
And she's really talented. And she was in Hustlers. Congratulations, Alex. But the thing here is that this outfit could not be worn by anybody else with me appreciating it. Because really, it is a bizarre looking loofah kind of scrubbing outfit. But when Lizzo wears it with her tiny little purse,
she looks like a hot loofah.
She does look like a hot loofah.
Yeah, with it. But what do you think is in that?
I think it's a lipstick.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah.
What do you think
it's
it is?
It's lipstick
really?
Or chapstick.
Really?
But what the fuck are you saying chapstick for?
But because everybody needs chapstick. Do you not carry around chapstick?
If you went to the American Music Awards, that's what you would make sure you have.
Exhibit A.
Oh, wow.
Carrying around chapstick.
No, I don't.
Thank you, Cody. Boom. First one of the day.
You think Lizzo's going to the AMAs?
With chapstick, yes, I do.
And the only thing she's bringing is chapstick.
Maybe.
D?
No, I think, like I said, it's my self-esteem or cocaine. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
No.
That's what I'm calling cool.
Don't do cocaine,
kids. Sometimes I do cocaine.
Do you think I know anything about what women carry around in their purse? According to my fiance, she has everything, including her taxes, in that purse. So it's like there's a lot.
Well, she shouldn't do that because if it gets taken.
Right. That's a very good point.
What is happening now? Why are we watching Anderson Cooper? Not that I mind the silver fox. He's a very, very good looking
man. I just love his eyes. Yeah.
I'll just look at these for a second, guys.
Do you guys know when you search silver fox on the internet, like the images are not really hot older men?
Let's try it.
It's just actual silver foxes.
Is it
Silver
that fox from
fox.
Last Jedi?
Silver
maybe.
Fox.
Oh, yeah, the Belpucks? What are they called?
Well,
I have no idea.
We have mentioned Star Wars a few times today, and don't you worry, kids at home. We will be talking Star Wars today. Wow, it is really just a silver.
I know. It's so
fox.
Disappointing.
I don't like that.
Foxes are cute, but I was looking forward to seeing older hot men.
Yeah, totally. But also, we have a ton of other stuff. First of all, guys, Lance Reddick is coming in today.
Yeah,
huge.
So excited.
Which is massive. It's so crazy because he is somebody who has been a part of like at least 15 massive fandoms, not small ones, huge ones. Just between John Wick and Lost and Fringe and The Wire and Oz. It just like it goes on and on.
He's done video games. He's done that. Man has done everything. It's
and
crazy.
Recently, DuckTales.
Oh yeah.
My God.
Which we have to ask him about that because, you know.
He's going to be coming out in Godzilla. Like, we got Godzilla vs. Kong. He's done so many things. American Horror Story. Yeah. Like, this dude is everywhere. Yes.
And he's so good in everything he does.
Yeah, he's really excellent. Ridiculously talented. Also has a crazy story behind how he started acting, which I can't wait to get into with him. Nice. Went to Yale Drama School, too. So, like... That's pretty dope.
Yeah, so underprepared, just like James
Seymour.
Yeah,
really underprepared, exactly. Yeah, neither of them deserve their fame or success at all.
Right.
Also, you guys have been asking for him more, and we like him just fine. John Rocha will be joining us today.
Hey, everyone, this is John Rocha. Rocha.
That's actually his Twitter bio. Everyone likes me just fine.
Can we just hover on that for a minute? I like him just fine.
Here's the deal. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to be honest. I've never liked John Rocha more than in this room.
Okay.
My favorite John Rocha is sitting in that chair, John Rocha.
Yeah.
Like
it's a good John Rocha.
I don't know what it is.
I want the candy ass!
It's probably that. But when he walks in this room, he's the best version of himself.
Yeah.
I think he's being himself in this room.
Yeah.
I don't think when he's a pundit, he's being a pundit. When he's in the Schmodown, he's being a competitor and trying and an actor. But here he's being himself. It's really bizarre.
100%. That's what I think this show does that is kind of different from all those shows we do here. Is that you come in here, you be yourself, it's fun, it's free flowing, and you can shine a little bit. Not more, it's just a difference. That I enjoy as well.
Yeah, so you're right.
Oh,
I guess I don't like John outside, just here in this room. No, I'm kidding.
Only inside here do we like him.
Well, in his chair and his desk, he's cool too.
I think he's cooler in here.
We should do that. I almost wanted to not go to break and just bring him in and to have everybody watch what he does. Because he takes this chair out and he brings in the other chair.
Dude, I know.
His Dr. Claw chair.
He loves his Dr. Claw chair.
But that's the kind of shit that's annoying about him. Like, don't do that.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
But it's part of
the
charm.
Do you think he's like kind of like a diva, but he does stuff for himself, so it's okay?
Guy's got to be comfortable.
Cody?
Sure.
Diva, but does stuff for himself?
Maybe. I'm going to give you a maybe.
Cody, I have a question for you.
Oh, man.
Who do you think is the most high-maintenance person in the office?
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
You're going to have to give me a few minutes for that one. I got to run through the candidates. Oh, God.
Alex, thoughts?
I don't have any
Good contribution, Alex. I'm going to go with Thad.
Whoa.
Wow, Thad is the most high-maintenance person.
I think.
Is it because he tells you what to do?
Yeah.
That's part of it.
That makes sense. He's kind of your
Who do you guys think? Also, by the way, chime in at home if you got him.
I know.
From what you guys have seen.
I mean, Jeff Snyder is kind of up there.
Definitely.
I don't know Roka if he's high-maintenance sure as much as he is obscure.
He's obscure.
Because what does he really ask for?
You're right. He doesn't really ask for it.
He just does like, weird-ass shit.
It's just – I guess it's that he's never here and he's like at home working and then it's like it seems he can just kind of go in and out of that, which I guess is just cool. Fine.
I walk in and he's always playing Mortal Kombat and it makes me upset because I want to play Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Yeah. Just saying. Fuck Jeff. No, I'm kidding. I loved
it. Who do you think, Dave? Him shit, who's the most high-maintenance?
Well, Roka was up there, but I feel like
beat that ass.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Well, that's not really high maintenance. If he said like I need somebody to come beat my ass,
and I want your ass.
Well, that's more high maintenance.
And I want it now.
Probably that's really
when you demand for ass
yeah,
right
now,
away. Yeah,
like, candy ass.
And I mean,
wow,
when you make it specific,
candy
that's
asses.
True. Yeah,
you
candy.
Want ass, and
what
that's
is a candy
just demand
ass?
It now. And
it's a Halloween term.
Is it like
I don't know,
a candy
that
apple?
Like, but I sounded convincing, right?
Like bobbing for ass.
I don't know why I feel like he's the Wizard of Oz today, but Cody, what's a candy ass?
Yeah, we got the definition right here.
Okay,
ooh,
thank
please.
You so much.
Oh, never mind. Alex wanted to do images, apparently.
Oh, my God. Wait, go back
don't
to
ever
the images.
Do that again,
Alex. No, let's not do that. A timid or cowardly or despicable person. Yikes.
What? Why, though? But because that makes no sense because both candy and asses are good things. So why would
and
you?
And neither are particularly timid. Huh.
Anyways.
Do you think Roka knew that's what the definition was, or do you think he was just like making up a?
I don't
a
know
word?
Because
I mean,
he's older, so he knows random shit we don't know.
It was a term that was used during the wrestling days with The Rock.
That's
probably beat your candy ass. Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Cody.
Roka does want to be The Rock.
What if Cody's the most high maintenance out of all of us?
I believe it.
No, he's actually
I'm gonna say
so
no.
Zero fact
he's
behind
so
that.
He's so low maintenance.
I really don't know who I think it is. I have no – I'm like Alex on this one. No contribution.
I just get along with everybody so far. So far, I get along with everybody in the office. But ooh. We'll see. That doesn't mean they like me, but I like them.
So. Guys, I'm about to die here in a coughing fit. But while I do, what's going on with Michael Jackson?
Well, he's dead.
What a fantastic segue.
Well, you guys just dropped this news on me like right before we started. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Wait, what?
Well – there's a biopic, and it's in the works from the Bohemian Rhapsody producer, Graham King.
He just keeps wanting to do these
just
biopics. Huh?
Keeps doing the biopics. John Logan.
Bohemian Rhapsody took him over 10 years, so we've got a little time on this one.
John Logan, who wrote The Aviator, he is going to be writing this. And the film isn't intended, this is what Deadline says, to be a sanitized rendering of Jackson's life. And here's the estate will not be involved in the development of the screenplay. So what are we going to get with this? When they say this, are we going to get a straight up biopic? I know. Sorry. We're going to have to go here.
I know. Well, I asked you guys
about
it.
So are we going to get a – I'm sorry. Bohemian Rhapsody was a little bit watered down for my taste.
I wanted more.
I wanted – thank you,
Cody.
Rocket Man, however,
you wanted more.
Yes.
Like
was
you wanted,
awesome.
You wanted more like –
I wanted more of Freddie Mercury's life.
Okay.
How he navigated his sexuality
exactly.
within the industry, what were the highs and the lows of it, how hard it was. I got none of that
you
from
got
that movie.
A lifetime
here's
movie
the,
is what
correct.
You got.
Here's the thing, though. At least we know what the deal was with Freddie Mercury enough to know that that was watered down.
Right.
I don't – this is such risky business because whatever story they decide to tell
mm-hmm. –
it's an interpretation of what they think happened. It's not an actual
and
like,
I'm
not, accurate representation, probably.
I was on the same page as Josh McCuga after watching Leaving Neverland. Was that the name of the doc?
Yeah,
on HBO?
Leaving Neverland.
I was like, I just believe these men, and I don't feel like there's any way that they would choose to make that story up. But even that being said, there's still – so many other people involved and mm-hmm. so many other things about his life that I'm like, so is this a story to out him?
Right.
Or is this a story to talk about his music or his childhood? or
all of the above?
It could be
court cases.
It could be all of it. It could literally just be it could just be a collection of basically every time Michael made the news, both good and bad. Right? It could just be. Have you guys seen Judy?
Yes, it was. It's top 10 for me for sure. Have you seen it?
No, I'm dying to see it.
I am so obsessed with this movie. My only issue is that people only just keep talking about Renee Zellweger's performance and not the movie. Mm-hmm. To me, her performance is incredible, but the movie was phenomenal.
Pretty sure Jeff Snyder said that on the show last week.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's exactly what
I thought.
What
that the movie was incredibly relatable and disturbing, but. It's so, so great.
So I'm asking because, like, how did you feel that they showed who she was? Like, like a gray human, right? Like, she had messed up stuff going on, but she was also a very talented person. Like,
I think she is gray. I think if you're going to make a Michael Jackson biopic, you probably don't feel he's gray. You probably either feel, pun intended, he's either black or white. Mm-hmm. Like, he –
Sorry. Totally. I just love that song.
Mm-hmm. But I think that they – have a strong take on him one way or the other, probably. Yeah. I don't think that anybody in 2019 is calling for like a Judy movie that outs her as a pedophile or like it just was a different situation, I think. This is
more of like her battling her own.
Her battling herself, totally. Yeah. And Michael Jackson, I'm sure, was battling himself all the time as well, but there's other parts of the story that have come forward, whether you believe them or not.
Right.
This movie probably is going to touch on them.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not? It's really – here's something I want to read to you guys and get your opinion on it.
Yeah.
Because Deadline is saying it makes me think – I'm going to read it. So there is demonstrable evidence that there is a strong appetite for Jackson's story and music with a Broadway musical also currently in the works. So when they say that – They shine the light on the music itself. And so are they going to go light on everything else? It makes me almost think that they're going to just touch on it in a way if it's Graham King who did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, how are they going to do a Broadway musical where they're just going to be like, oh, and then this weird fucked up shit might have happened, but jazz hands.
Yeah, maybe
the Broadway musical could ignore it. They could do something different.
Like Green Day does.
Right.
And just have the music as part of the story.
Could be.
I feel so conflicted about this. I called my dad when the Leaving Neverland came out. And you guys know my dad was in the music industry for a long time and worked with a ton of different people. And I was like, what is your take on this? And he, very differently than me, was like, his music is his music. Because I was telling him, anytime his music comes on now, I turn it off.
Mm.
For me personally, I can't listen to it without feeling ill. Mm-hmm. So that's why I turn it off. I'm not trying to make any statements to other people. I just feel sick inside. And he was like, I think that's so silly of you.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, listen to people's music differently than you think of them as people. And if you don't want to listen to any musicians who have done things on that level, then turn off music altogether.
Correct.
Because it's all of them.
Yep.
And obviously that's a massive statement. He didn't mean every single person. But he was like – very like the vast majority of the people that I worked with were in somewhere in that camp.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also,
so I don't maybe just because I don't know about it doesn't mean it wasn't taking place. But I don't know. I feel really torn.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when you and Josh were like, I'm done listening. Like, because I think I asked one of you or both of you. It's like, oh, if you hear a Michael Jackson song at a bar, you're going to walk out. And you're both like, yes. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's only because I worked in the music industry for a long time, not as much as your dad. But I heard stories from people about Michael Jackson that were weird. They weren't like horribly, you know, like the stuff we're hearing, but that he was a weirdo, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you hear that. I mean, I heard about Rod Stewart doing like stupid things, right? You hear Dr. Dre, everybody, like you're just in this environment in the studio where you see people not just touring but doing fucking weird shit that may or may not be acceptable, right? And if you, I'm not sure if you guys read what Nick Cave wrote about Morrissey. But because I'm a huge Smiths fan. I mean, Mexican. It's like Morrissey's basically like our Mexican Jesus.
Okay.
when we were kids, right? And he's clearly, I am not aligned with his politics nowadays. You know, and it sucks because I love the Smiths so much, that their music meant so much to me growing up. And Nick Cave was basically trying to say, separate the artist from the art, in the sense that once art is out there, it belongs to the people, right? It belongs to, like, whatever you interpret it. Because most people that have created – not most, but there's a lot of people that have created beautiful things. They're fucked up.
And that's one level of it, D, but the next level is, do you want to see a biopic about that? You know, the,
it could be done well. Like, I'm not saying it's
easy.
What
would you want to see then? If there's a Michael Jackson biopic, what are you hoping that it focuses on?
I think that you can – if you're – which I could never do, but if you get good writers to say, okay, we're going to not shy away from this and say that it happened in the news, whether we know it's true or not, right? I just don't know – the only – I think the smart way or easier way, I guess, of avoiding, you know, it being, like, really messed up is to do it from a different perspective. Where you're not doing it like Rocketman or Bohemian Rhapsody, where, like, the main star is the star, you know, is Michael Jackson. Maybe you're doing it from, like, the manager's point of view, like somebody else's. That might work. But
right. The protagonist would be, like, the audience, right?
Exactly.
So we're not in the shoes of Michael. We're in somebody on the outside.
Right. But I'm not saying it's easy. Like, I wouldn't want that job.
I have no idea how they're going to do it, but I think they should absolutely touch on it, and I think they should go into the music. I think it should start and be about the music, because it really comes down to, if you want to listen to music, that's your choice, right? We shouldn't have to condemn people for not wanting to listen to Michael Jackson anymore, right, and vice versa. I would go after it by focusing on who he is, especially the music, how it defined pop music, defined whatever it is, and then you have to address all of this.
The other issue too is, I mean, we just had last week, Riley and I interviewed the director for the Quentin Tarantino documentary.
Yeah, Tara Wood.
And she mentioned, because she I don't know if you saw it, but she adds, like, Weinstein stuff to the documentary. Mm-hmm. And it was weird because it was like an additional kind of thing at the end, but most of the movie was celebrating Quentin as a filmmaker. And she said, she's like, yeah, obviously, you know, we all agree that the stuff Weinstein did is horrible. Mm-hmm. But she did mention he was, at least when they started working together, he was his producing partner. He saw, you know, he was visionary in the sense that he saw this visionary filmmaker and what he could do. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing about humans.
They have different layers to them. Cody, Alex, would you guys go see a Michael Jackson biopic?
No, I'm not touching this one. Alex, go ahead.
I would. I was a huge Michael Jackson fan growing up. And I think his story should be told in, like, mm-hmm. Whether it is vilifying him or not, I think it's an important story to be out there. And I think maybe, like, in a Steve Jobs kind of structure, that it could really work.
Mm,
like how it's, like, three different time periods.
Mm.
Wow, that's a great call.
They definitely need to
You can't steal his opinion, Cody.
I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. They definitely need to attach creatively some non-white people to this project, because
100%.
Graham is, and yeah. I know that depending on who you are, you're going to have a different opinion on this. And I just think that it would be a really bad look if you have white producer, white director, white writer on this mm-hmm. project.
Right.
Just not a good look. Anyway, speaking of not a good look, we'll see you guys after the commercial break. We're coming back, guys. John Rocha in the house. Just tearing apart Rocha today. See you in a moment.
Hey guys, it's Cody here. Do you love DC movies, shows, and comic books? Well, we have good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use promo code Collider to start your free trial. DC Universe has so much to offer, including their action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, Swamp Thing, and Titans Season 2. It doesn't stop there. The highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premieres on November 29th.
Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaylee Cuoco, break things off with the Joker and attempt to make it on her own. Will she be the newly liberated queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. If you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan favorite DC shows, watch classic films, and so much more. If reading is more your thing, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access all at your fingertips. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your free 14-day trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use the promo code Collider to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Collider Live is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us
John Rocha.
Every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world.
Hey everyone, this is John Rocha.
The big games, all of it, with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Bresciotti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops in on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
I'm liking this song. Oh, hey, we're back, guys.
Cody,
just listen to this for a second.
Cody, you're feisty today.
I had a rock star energy before we started.
How'd that go?
Oh, I downed it.
Extreme. Mm.
Welcome back to Collider Live. John Rocha with us now.
Hello.
That's the first time we've talked about you today on the show. I swear.
Wow.
And we, okay. We haven't been talking shit at all about
what?
About your chair, about your high maintenance chair.
What are you talking about? This is yeah. Why should you? Listen, let me tell you something about getting older. When you get older. What you
oh,
want to
yes.
do.
This is what makes great content. Tell us about getting older.
Gotcha. I can do
what?
Fart jokes if you want.
No,
but
what does happen when you get older? Time.
You thank you. You are like, what is going to make me comfortable? What is going to make me happy? And I don't give a crap what anyone else thinks.
No,
and
man.
So sitting in this chair is comfortable and happy, and I don't have to sit in the crappy red chair that's unstable at times.
Oh, maybe
messes with my back.
You. Maybe you should just take that chair wherever you go, and then you'll just stop whining.
You have no idea. I don't whine about it. I bring it in. You're all the ones who complain about it.
Unstable at times?
Yeah, the red chair for me is unstable. Like I don't weigh
breaks?
110. I weigh 230, so it gets unstable
no,
with a man
what,
of my size.
What do you mean? Like you feel it dipping
yeah,
or something?
I feel like moving left to right, and it's a bit unstable. This one is.
Mark
this
seems to like
wobbly.
The chair.
Nah.
Works for me.
Weird.
It's just not for
fine.
Me.
Fine.
Oh,
what
man.
We were talking about right before we came back, so I just want to get into it, is Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yay.
We all have Watchmen thoughts.
Yeah.
Cody, Alex, do either you guys, are you guys watching the show?
Oh, my God. Last night's episode was incredible.
Okay.
Right, Alex?
Oh.
So this has got to be their Emmy submission episode for,
yes.
like, directing or writing, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Should be.
And,
yeah.
I mean.
Do you think Cody saw it?
I swear
no.
to God,
yes,
I
know
you
did. No,
we talked about it on the show before.
There's just something.
Just
no,
uses
I know
the
that you. I know that you were watching, but you've got this sarcastic tone
yeah.
for the all the things.
That's fair.
Yeah,
sassy Cody is fun. Cody,
you want to know what?
He's my favorite.
I thought
Cody.
That this episode. I think the whole show is great.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show. I thought this episode was as good as some of the other episodes.
Oh, man.
It wasn't a standout for me. I still like 2 and 5.
But wow. the direction, though, yesterday I felt like the cinematography, like the fact that – and minor spoilers here, but, you know, the whole point is that Angela takes the nostalgia pills,
mm-hmm.
right? So whenever they were going into those sort of dream sequences
yeah.
and going to Will Reeves's mind, it felt like kind of like Birdman.
Yeah.
Right? Where you have these, like, long single takes of the camera and then – on top of that, you have like the transitions of a character opening a door and turning into another character. Like it was just – I have not seen something like that on television that looked that beautiful.
Mm.
And on top of that, with the jazz score,
mm.
you know, and then obviously the story itself. Like it was – I have zero things to nitpick about last night's episode. I hadn't seen something like that on TV.
Yeah.
I was very, very much blown away.
Yeah. Mm. That's what I put it out. I've never seen anything that walked into the racial discussion so – proudly put it all on the table.
Yep.
Even that Cyclops thing reminds you of what's going on now with that little sign that the white supremacists are doing in our society. There was full guts. It put it all out there and goes, screw you. We're not going to make it safe for you. We're not going to give you a kumbaya movement. We're not going to make
You're
it easy.
You're saying you like the audience?
The audience, yep. Yes. And also the fact that, look, what you were talking about, what you referenced, Darina, that the subtlety of that point is that we are the summation of the people that came before us,
mm-hmm.
that our ancestors built us, our ancestors create
mm-hmm.
us, and we go back in time to grab strength or to learn lessons from what our ancestors have gone through. She basically got that through the nostalgia pills. And then you see what he goes through as a black man, but not just a black man, a gay black man in this world, and what he has to endure and come across and go and against all of that just built. And as if that isn't enough, at the end, the flickering thing
mm-hmm.
with him speaking, essentially it undercuts film and television, saying that film and television are one of the reasons why people turn against each other or people are inspired to go against other people. Like,
right.
It's fascinating.
Did you watch Leftovers?
Yes.
And so this episode reminded me of a lot of Leftovers.
Okay.
That's what
fair.
I heard from people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that show. Just to me, because, Dee, when we were texting this morning, you
yeah.
were like, this was the most groundbreaking episode.
Well, one of the most
and,
in television.
And to me, I thought it was really, really
right, right.
good. Again, there was not a lot to nitpick. I like this, not like the story, but I appreciate the story. I think that Regina King still, to me, is like the standout in the show.
Yeah.
She's just so phenomenal.
She's acting with her fucking eyeballs in last
mm-hmm.
night's episode.
Yeah.
Like, that was
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they touched upon it. I just maybe wasn't surprised because that's exactly
right.
what this show has told us they were going to do, and they're just doing what they've set up for us.
I could see what you're saying.
Nothing was like, I did not think they'd go there.
Right.
I was like, yeah, that's exactly what Watchmen does. So they're doing what Watchmen does.
I guess it's because maybe the fact that it's based on a sort of, you know, superhero comic book, I think the first time that I was very happily surprised by a superhero story on television dealing with trauma was Jessica Jones, right? And so, I feel like it's not only have the people behind Watchmen done an amazing job of being true to the source material as to what the actual source material represents, but then aligning that within a completely alternate alternate universe, and then touching on these themes that Roka's talking about with institutional racism, right? Like where the fact that white supremacists have infiltrated government and authority and all
and police
exactly, yeah. And so that I feel like it. A lot of shows have touched upon that, but not superhero shows. And on top of that, just to me, like, I'm a visual person, so like the way it was shot was beautiful.
It was.
I mean, all of those scenes, I was just like, how did they do this? Like, I would love to see it behind the scenes. It was fucking incredible.
What do you think, Mark?
Everything you guys are saying, I'm with you 100%. This is one of the best episodes of television I think I've ever seen.
So you're definitely your favorite of the series.
Favorite
so far.
Of the season. Oh, yeah. Favorite of the series so far. It is so powerful. It is something that I just like, what you were talking about, like the hypnotism. I was hypnotized.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable that they were going there.
Yeah.
And I think it deserves a lot of credit for doing that. I said this about Joker. I thought the Joker movie was a message in a Trojan horse of a comic book movie. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. This is another – but this is a little bit more blatant. This is a little – like – and I appreciate the fact that they went so full on into this without any pulling back, like you said. No kumbaya or anything happening. This was a powerful episode that I just adored. I want to see it again because there is so much to unpack from this.
Yeah.
I missed so much because I sat there with my jaw open most of the time.
Yeah. And I just feel like with, you know, something like Joker, but especially this show – I feel like the superhero genre, with all of the kind of popcorn films we've gotten in the last few years, has been elevated with this show, right? Mm-hmm. It's because it's to me, at least, it's become a show about how we inherit trauma and what we decide to do with that trauma, right? Like how we're enduring, whatever we like you said, like our past messed up issues that we have from our history or not just family, and then deciding whether we're going to try to be a hero and contribute to society. But at the same time, we know that most of the time we're just like enduring our own issues, right? And I think that's fascinating. And it was done really well.
Also, this idea in the black community, you know, that the older black cop says to him, look out for the Cyclops, right? He says that, right? That is indicative. And I have quite a few friends I've grown up in the military and in Virginia who are black. And Jay speaks about this too. This idea of passing on the warnings to the next generation.
Jay Washington,
yes. Passing on this idea of like, be careful about what's coming. You know, we have now in our society black mothers and fathers teaching their kids how to speak to police because they don't want them to be shot or killed, what to wear, how to react. These kinds of things are things that are not inherent within the white community or even to a lesser degree the Latino community. It is more about that. So all of that gets highlighted here. And there is no you have to be the bigger person.
No.
You know, he kills everybody. He kills everybody. And you're just like, damn.
Are you guys a little bit of a segue? But are you guys watching Shameless this season?
No.
Oh, they're majorly touching upon what you just talked about, like black men of an older generation teaching a younger generation, which has been really interesting to watch on that show in a completely different way. But back to Watchmen for a second, I think that everything you guys are saying is so true. But this is a show that opened up with the 1921 Tulsa riots.
Yeah, exactly.
So they said to us, "Here is what our show is." Really dive into.
Maybe because we're all sorry to interrupt, Roxy, but maybe because we're all like, you know, PTSD from like shows continuing to be like good and then shitty.
Yeah. So you're just happy that they delivered on what they promised to deliver on.
Or that other shows have copped out when they've had a chance to go all the way.
I agree with that. I agree. And I also think that like still we're painting very gray characters here. And I continue to question like where I lie with some of these things that are actually happening. Even even with like – who do you guys feel like you're rooting for hardest on the show right now? Is it Regina King?
Yes.
Yeah, Stan. But
– I think that's by design.
But with what, when I was reading Watchmen, I wasn't really rooting for anyone.
Anybody? Like
I, yeah.
Oh.
That's – I mean, okay. Were you?
Rorschach. Always.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
I mean,
about I exposing the truth.
Well, I loved him, yeah. Like just like I loved the Joker when
Do
I was a kid,
Snowden?
But I didn't.
Hmm? Do you love Snowden? Okay.
Wait, the movie Snowden?
No, Edward.
You're asking me if I like
it. I got you, John. I got you, buddy. Don't have to answer that question.
Trying to go to the movie topic of it.
Continue, Dee. Continue.
Oh, that was a good question. Thank you, Roxy.
I have
for
an
that.
Answer, but no, go ahead.
I don't even know what I was saying. That was amazing.
We were talking about which character you're backing.
Oh, yeah.
You
didn't no, like Rorschach. Like I liked Joker, but I wasn't like rooting for
yeah,
them.
Rooting for
does
Joker.
That make sense? That's what I mean. Yeah.
I think you can
don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I was not rooting for Joker.
That's a cop out people use to bash the film.
Being fascinated by a character and understanding and agreeing with some of their philosophy doesn't mean that you are okay with them murdering people.
Correct.
That's what I mean.
Like, I'm rooting for Ozymandias.
I want
I am fascinated. I want to know.
You are rooting for him.
I am rooting
You're
for
rooting
him
for
as far as.
For him
as
to
far,
what?
I don't know.
Win?
Like, get out of wherever he is. The see what the hell he's doing. Right. What's going on with the clones? What's going on with space? What's going on with all this stuff? I'm rooting for the finish of the story, for some answers. So not necessarily like what he does as a character. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for the story to keep unraveling the mystery for
but
me.
But that's still so cool because that character was fascinating to me also in the book.
Because
oh, yeah.
it becomes
it's,
the original because yeah. that character was so fascinating in the original Watchmen comic to see it pick up with him later. I want to know
and
more.
Similar to like what later became Thanos, right? Which is like he kind of acts like this god, right? Like
right.
he's the one that's making decisions as to like what he thinks is best for society. And so what they've done with Jeremy Irons' character totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's brilliant, the take they've done on Adrian.
Silk Spectre. Rooting for Silk Spectre at all?
I'm just rooting for Jean Smart. I fucking love that woman.
Yeah,
to be cast in everything.
Again,
me too.
This is where I keep going back to just story and character. All of these threads are so fascinating that it's like, yes – of course I'm rooting for her.
Well, she's like hardcore doing her job.
She's doing her job and she's fascinating.
I'm not
you're
rooting
not,
for her.
Okay, I love this. So no. Because you're like
– but I am rooting for Jean Smart in everything.
Right?
Not
why not?
Just to clarify again, not on the side of the Joker. I am on the side of Jean Smart. John Roker. Controversial.
Yeah. Jean Smart,
maybe
deep thought for you, my
Snowden
friend.
Snowden to be determined.
Yeah, well, no. There's an answer. Jean Smart, please come to my Christmas dinner. I would say this for me, the character, because she turned her back on the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she got caught, then she turned states and now she's vigilant on the other side. Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, that bothers me because for years you were fine being a part of this team. You helped Dr. Manhattan cheat on his wife. Let's not take that out of the equation.
Right.
And then did what you did. Then you got upset because
a lot of people cheat on their spouses.
And I judge them. And this person,
and they will be judged.
Sorry, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Clinton too. Absolutely. Yeah. But you get the situation where, okay, what is her? She seems to be like, I am the avenging angel. Like, well, no, you've got some stuff in your past that you can be called out for, not just the cheating, but other things that she's done. So let's explore that more. So I'm not exactly cheering for her, but I'm very intrigued by her as a character.
Cody, backing anybody?
I can't do it, Alex. I'm sorry.
What happened?
Looking Glass was my guy.
There,
he's
yeah.
the one
oh,
yeah,
like
clearly
Glass.
Good.
Absolutely.
He's just fucked up and traumatized. I was going to say Lube Man.
Yeah.
Lube Man, what? Yeah.
He goes into that sinkhole with all the lube.
Where's
lube? That's where the lube lives.
All the lube.
Alex, who are you rooting for?
Lube Boy.
Lube Boy.
Lube Man.
He went from man to boy real quick. That's what happens when you use too much lube.
Hello.
Is there such a thing as too much lube?
I'm going there. I like that.
I don't even know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Works.
Are you serious?
I'm like, well,
is there so much thing of too much lube?
Yeah, I guess.
Have you ever tried too much lube?
No, well, I mean, but just easier.
Wait, loop or lube?
It makes things easier.
Lube.
You
okay.
just slap.
Vacation.
I said for loops. Too much loops. Too much lube.
No, lube. They're talking okay. definitely no. about sex
Fair
stuff.
Enough.
Yes.
You really thought that?
You said pee. I thought you said loop. So I thought I was wondering where you were going with that.
Is
where
there
is
such
lube,
a thing
man?
As too much lube?
Yes. As a man, yes. And I'll answer that question truthfully.
Snowden? Man, this review is awesome.
Snowden.
It's Yeah.
All right, let's move on from Watchmen talk, because one of us is going to get ourselves in deep trouble if we continue.
Deep, get it? Deep lube.
Deep, oh boy.
Yeah, you need lube to get deeper. Okay. Anyway, segue.
Use the lube to go in deeper with the lube.
You don't need the sound bite. I'll just do it here. Jesus.
Jesus. Mark Riley, talk to me about what else is going on in the news.
In the news, well, there's the marketing campaign for Star Wars is officially underway. We got a new TV spot. We got a clip. We got like a kind of nostalgia legacy kind of trailer on what Star Wars means to an audience with a bunch of footage everywhere. So the first thing, the clip. So we got an actual clip. Have you guys all seen
it? Did you say clip?
Clip. Clip.
You know what? You know what, Roxy? Go ahead, yeah.
Okay.
Clip is not an actual word.
We can,
loop is. Go ahead.
We can say, we can go around.
So the Star Wars clip.
So
is
the
what
Star
she's
Wars clip.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yes, that's what I was still getting at. That, yeah. We're on the same page.
The right. Force so is with
this
us.
Is a kids' show, right?
So, we did get a
clip. Not after the loop thing.
No. We did get a Star Wars clip, and we did get that TV spot. Mm. Thoughts on new Star Wars footage in general? D, how are you feeling?
I saw the clip this morning. I thought it was cool. I mean, I thought the flying stormtrooper people were cool.
The jump troopers?
Yeah, whatever they're called.
Yeah, that was dope. But how are they doing that?
They have,
jetpacks?
Jetpacks. 20 seconds. They can go 20-second bursts.
Yeah, it was like a
rocket. How do you know that?
Because it's in canon.
Oh.
The Imperial jump troopers.
What a nerd. It's like a rocketeer stormtrooper.
And that is in canon.
Yeah.
The 20-second.
Actually, it's a Mandalorian.
It's not a Mandalorian jetpack.
Wow, that's kind of crazy because, like, think of all the things you can do in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
With lube.
Especially with a lot of lube.
Yeah,
hey-o.
This yep. is where...
No. I thought it was cool.
Which one did you like better? Did you like the TV spot or you like the new footage?
I like the new footage because it reminded me of watching something like Jedi, where Luke and Leia are on the speeder bikes and they're being chased in Endor. That's one of my favorite action sequences as a kid in Star Wars, as much as some people put down Jedi for some reason.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was fun, the fact that you're seeing all the heroes together, mm-hmm. you know, and the end where they're what's that little joke they say? They're like
they fly now.
Yeah the
all
it's
three
like,
of them.
Yeah, the third one. I think Oscar Isaac did it at the end. I was just like, now you're just being like Marvel, and that kind of pissed me off a little bit. But that's just me being a loser.
Oh,
nerd.
I like that moment.
I'm just a nerd.
I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, it felt really Star Wars for me. And you bring up Return of the Jedi. It felt like Return of the Jedi. It had almost like that was what JJ was going for. Like Endor, some of the banter that they had that Han and Leia had at the shield generator. And you know what ties it together for me is having 3PO in the action, finally.
Yeah.
Is that we haven't had 3PO do much, and now he's finally in the middle of things, and that's what kind of brings it together. What? What? What?
No.
Should've used some more lube.
Look, I agree.
Listen.
Look, Mark.
If you want to talk about Star Wars, you want to talk about sex. We just get it all out.
Both. Have you seen the Star Wars porn?
Sure.
So, I agree. I love seeing him there. I felt like a little kid watching this because I kept stopping it, being like, "Mark, what's happening?
I know.
Mark, what's this one? What is the Sith?
Sith troopers.
Sith troopers.
We
man,
got a shot of them.
Yo, those Sith troopers were bloody and gross looking, but they weren't actually. It's just red. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's the deal. You guys know, for anybody who's new, either just watching this clip out, just stumbled upon us or whatever, I am the most casual Star Wars fan of all time. I've seen Star Wars so many times, but I watch it like a true casual person.
Yeah.
I could put on Star Wars anytime, any place, because I just think it's cool. But if you ask me specifics, I'm like, I don't know.
You're like that furry creature.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that is me to a T. So when I see a red stormtrooper looking thing, I'm like,
Sith trooper, right?
That's dope. Like, I feel like a millennial frat boy watching these, like, oh, cool, man, they're flying.
It's like, holy shit, those light swords.
That's me. I kept pausing. I was like, who's on which ship? What's
and
up?
That's what was so fun for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there going, oh, sweet, you know, getting to my Star Wars action. And you're like, pause it. What's that? And you were so excited. And it was like reminding me when I showed, like, my fiance Star Wars for the first time when she hadn't seen the prequels for years. And we start talking
and
about
then
it.
You that's, ruined it and showed
and then
it to
I,
her.
And then when Jar Jar walked on, she had that one. She had that. I told you about this. Jar Jar walks on and she just takes the longest break and goes, who's that asshole? Just awesome.
So, yeah.
Roka, how are you feeling?
I liked the clip. It's certainly old school Star Wars, original trilogy Star Wars. The joke being repeated three separate times, mm-hmm. that's totally old school Star Wars. So I like that. I like seeing them all together.
Yeah, Marvel stole that shit.
Yeah, guess
we had it first.
What?
Joke.
If you're casual, you can't claim it as yours.
I can't.
Oh, why? How dare
this
you,
This is what I was talking about
John.
The other day. Can I be a fan?
Yeah, of course you
of course
can.
You
I'm
can.
Just kidding. I'm
casual
just
or no, you're
I'm
a fan.
I'm kind of a casual fan of everything. I love
do
everything.
You gatekeep
except
it,
DC.
Do I what?
You're not
do you
casual.
Do you gatekeep Star Wars?
What does that mean?
That means like, do you go, no, you can't really be a fan or not. You don't know.
See, and that's what we got to.
There's a delineation.
That's what's out there.
Yeah.
No.
And that's what's okay. stupid.
I just think
let's
anybody
just
who
enjoy.
Likes anything is allowed to be a fan of it.
Absolutely.
If you like one of the Star Wars movies and maybe you're not like a huge like canon yeah. crazy fan, then you're a fan of
yeah.
Star Wars.
I get called a purist because I only really love the original trilogy. Even mm-hmm. though I like some of the new stuff, people are like, well, you're not a real fan.
That's bullshit. Here's what yeah. I said.
Across the board, that's wrong.
I loved yeah. it. I love the desert planet vibe. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're
yeah,
at.
Yeah, where are we?
Yeah, where are we? Are we back
is
at
it in Tatooine?
Are we on Jakku?
It's not Tatooine. There's a new planet.
Okay.
Jakku,
yeah,
are
there.
You?
I don't no, know. You're not going to
I can't remember. I almost
oh,
had
okay,
it.
Okay.
But
it
was just a new planet.
Cody, can you try to Google for us what the name of this new planet is, please?
Just so you guys know in the chat, I'm very entertained by people coming up with Star Wars sex puns.
Oh,
so far we got RTG Lube and Jar Jar Kinks.
Jar Jar Kinks is clever.
That's a good
yes,
one.
Jar Jar
like
Kinks
one.
Is clever, but what is his kink?
What would be Jar Jar's kink?
Being slightly racist.
Slightly?
That's a...
it's not a great kink to have.
Stepping on poop. And making a 5-year-old laugh, I guess.
Imagine having sex with somebody who sounded like Jar Jar.
Misa,
hoy. Wait. Okay.
You can picture it.
No,
can
I can't.
Picture it now.
Listen to the loop.
Did we find the planet name?
We're struggling.
Planet is called Pasana.
Oh, yeah, Pasana. That's it. Thank you.
Wow, it must be hot in that Pasana.
Pasana.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I pissed somebody off out there today because of my casualness on it. But, like,
no, why?
I just don't treat it like it is the holy temple that other people do.
And you know what? That's maybe a big thing that's happening in the fandom when you're yelled at for liking
right.
The Last Jedi, for instance.
I love The Last Jedi.
Good.
I love the original trilogy.
Good.
There's actually never been a Star Wars movie I didn't like.
Good.
I like the holiday special.
Good.
The holiday special is pretty amazingly bad.
What
I
just
love
happened?
It's bad.
My like, favorite.
I think you? I just got fired.
I was with you.
No, no. My favorite thing about the holiday special is when the Wookiees all talk and there's no subtitles. So there's like literally 15
but
minutes
I understood
of them.
Them.
You
and,
did.
And Lumpy goes.
And then that weird like VR sex toy thing that he puts on. What's the singer's name?
What are you talking about?
Come on, you wanted to talk about put the Star Wars sex
talk
in there.
Oh, the holiday special.
In the holiday special, he puts on like a virtual reality thing. And it's like
what singer?
Donna Summers or something. That's yeah. like
I love Donna Summers.
Yes, you
who
do.
Was it?
Yes,
have you seen it?
But it was like and it was like
yeah,
all
I have,
trippy.
But I forget it, I guess. I do, but I forgot.
Were you not here for our reaction. Movie actor game when watching?
I was. Yeah, I know. It's the best. But it's Donna Summer. It's 1S. Oh, 1S.
Summer.
Donna Summer.
Well, now, do we jump to the
she's
clip?
Great.
The
hot
two
stuff.
And a half minute thing?
Yeah, that's what we were. Yeah. I mean, we were kind of
talking
about the bowl.
Oh, see, I would say this. I think the clip was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the clip was 30 seconds.
But,
no, the two and a half minute clip.
But, John Rocha?
The 2.5 minute clip. But where the fuck is George Lucas? He's in it for 3 goddamn seconds.
Oh,
and
oh,
that
oh,
is bullshit.
Oh, you're talking
so
about
this is
the
2-hour
legacy,
kind of celebration mm-hmm. trailer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. can't. Is nobody going to talk about this?
He should have been deepfaked harder.
We can
exactly.
do that. Collider can take care of that for you.
Salty George Lucas.
You actually wanted how much of him?
At least 30 seconds, for God. If we're getting Hamill, we got Mark Hamill all over this thing.
Yeah.
Well, what do you tell us why you're so upset, John?
Built it?
Yeah. He's in there.
The only reason you all are doing this is because I came up with it in 1975.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one. Lube Skywalker.
Interesting thing to be upset about.
Lube Skywalker.
That's good.
Lube Skywalker is good.
Lube Skywalker. Yeah. But is it Lube or Lube?
Han.
Han suck on my
Whoa. Hand job is there.
I mean, might as well just go there. Han suck my dick.
Han job. Cody, you got one?
I just am not clever
enough.
Not
as good as Han suck on my wiener.
That should be a t-shirt.
I'm serious. I've really upset people, and I'm so sorry for what I've done to you guys.
Don't be sorry.
Do you guys want to move on to different news?
Yes, but let me just read these two more.
Yeah, give them to me.
Obi, come blow me.
Oh, that's a good one.
And McClinky.
Excuse me, why is Obi come blow me better than Han suck on my wiener?
I think they're both great.
Well, because the Obi-Wan Kenobi
kind of rhymes.
Yeah, the Obi-Wan Kenobi has a certain flair to it, you know, just rhyming in the names and everything.
Where do you put the dash on that one? Obi come blow me. Is it Obi dash come or Obi come dash blow me?
Oh, well, it's also C-U-M, right?
I think it's blow me with the dash.
No, Obi come like Obi-Wan, Obi dash come.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then space.
Yeah.
Blow me.
Is come blow me all one word or is it?
Blow me one word. No, you got to do the blow me one word.
Blow me should be one word.
Give the.
You know who's upset somewhere right now?
Well, who?
Josh McCuga.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He would have been.
SMD, Josh.
We should have him. We should have him call in, though, with Star Wars sex puns.
You know what's great, though? Actually, just pausing this for a second to talk about what we have lined up for a minute here.
Can
I just like so excited about this week and next week both. By the way, in case we haven't said it yet, we have a huge guest coming on tomorrow as well. You guys, if you're listening if you listen to podcasts at all, then you've heard him a bajillion times. Adam Carolla is joining us tomorrow.
That is a boom,
which is huge, huge. And then we did pre-tape shows for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so you guys won't be alone for the holidays in any way, shape, or form. And then when we come back from Thanksgiving, Josh McCuga himself.
Hello.
Josh McCougs is back on the show.
We'll be in the house.
He's going to be here for most the entire week almost, except next Friday.
He'll be on Sports Time as well for those of you who are waiting for Josh to come back.
So if you guys want to leave us, wait two more weeks at least because we got jam-packed stuff for the next couple
weeks.
Leaving?
Roxy, please.
People aren't leaving.
Okay.
I got one.
Yeah, do it.
Luke Nelson says, Kwai Dong Jin.
Ah.
Kwai Dong Jin. I'm cool with that.
That's
a good
one.
I like a good dong. Yeah, he's throwing a good dong in there. You
Princess Leimi.
Ooh, Hung Solo.
No, but isn't it
Hung Solo?
Isn't Princess Leia better?
Leia.
Lay like you. Lay like I'm going to lay you.
Yeah.
Instead of lay me.
Cause it's too soon.
No.
I think we should... I think we should really try to hit an entire hour on this. So,
Darth sit on this.
Darth.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
That sounded like a Roxy one if I've ever heard it. Let's get hit one more news story, Riley, and then let's take some calls. What do you got for me?
Well, there's a lot, actually. I mean, there's the box office. What do you want? I'm going to throw a wheel of news at you. Box office report.
Mm-hmm.
The Batman casting with John Turturro.
Yeah.
Which can be pretty fast.
All right, let's do it.
He's Batman. John Turturro has been cast as Boss Carmine Falcone.
The Jesus is going to be
Jesus.
So exciting.
I loved your tweet, by the way, there, Roka. Yeah.
But what was your tweet?
What was my tweet?
It was you were doing the Great Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
You come and roll up on me.
I don't know if I can find it. You guys keep talking. I'll find it.
I had this debate on DC Movie News this past week. I say Falcone. Do you guys say Falcone or Falcone?
Falcone.
I read it in Spanish, so Falcone.
Falcone.
Oh, good for you.
That's how I reach it.
I can't help
it. I thought your name was Roxy.
I'm excited about this. I saw some people actually weren't excited about this, which I was surprised by because John Turturro for everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think it's because maybe with big blockbusters, they have him in the Transformers movies being kind of weird. What do you think about that, Roka?
I love it. I think it's great. Turturro is a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And he thrives in whatever genre you put him in.
Let
me tell
you
something, Bandejo.
You pull any of that crazy shit with the Falcons, you flash your batarang out in the Narrows, I'll take it away from you, stick it up your ass, and pull the trigger till it goes click.
Jesus.
Joe said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Falcons.
Did you memorize that?
That's right here.
That's
a big Lebowski quote in the Batman universe.
But you were looking at – I didn't know what was –
Could you imagine a Coen Brothers Batman movie?
Some nerd commented back. The Batarang doesn't have a trigger. Yes, I know it doesn't have a trigger. That wasn't the point.
Excuse me, Roka.
Could.
The Batarang actually has no trigger. No.
Actually.
Oh, Roka, question for you.
Yes.
Did you know what a candy ass was before you said candy ass?
Did you learn that through wrestling?
Through The Rock.
The Rock?
Yeah.
See, we should have known better.
We looked up the definition, and it's like despicable person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
panty waist.
Who were you saying it to?
Do you think
Mike?
I don't remember. Was it Mike?
I don't know.
It's either Mike, Ben, or Andrew. Those are the only three.
I'm calling him Mike Kalinowski now, by the way.
I like that. I like that a lot. But okay, before we get to call, though, Riley, what I wanted you to touch upon was Bond, James Bond.
That's right. James Bond. We finally got some news that Daniel Craig has basically said, yep, this is the last time. I'm out. He said it in
doses. Can't imagine if he did on his last day.
Somebody even left in the office.
It's got to be Alex because nobody else would have laughed.
No, that was me.
Cody!
You make Cody laugh.
Wow, do I get air horns or what?
Well, not one, since you asked for it.
Okay,
no.
Deuces.
That was hysterical.
Yeah.
So he was speaking with Stephen Colbert, and he was very resolute when he was asked, are you done with Bond? And he said, to which he said, yes, it's done. So that's what we're going off of, and it kind of makes sense. I mean, it took forever to get this next Bond up. He had a lot of – he talked about I'd rather, what, climb over broken glass than do another time. Then there was a little bit of a delay. Then they got him. So it makes sense that this is the last run for Daniel Craig as James Bond.
You know what makes things less exciting? When you work production and you know that everything that happens on these late night shows or morning shows that they're asked about, they've already been asked about and had to say what their answer is going to be in order to know if those questions want to be asked actually when they're doing the show. Like, it seems like, wow, he just said that. But it's like they knew he was going to say it. He knew the question was coming to him. Mm-hmm. It just makes it less fun for me.
Agreed. It's kind of like reality TV for me because you know it's kind of half scripted.
No, that's not true.
You're just saying, Roxy.
Reality is all real.
It is half scripted.
It is.
Yeah, I was production manager on a reality show.
Don't tell me that.
Which one?
Combat Missions. And I was one of the production guys on that. And they staged everything.
I don't want to hear it. John, what do you think about him being done?
I think it's good. I think it's time. He's done yeoman's work for the Bond series, and he's really carried it into a new phase effectively and powerfully. And it's time. And he was he was a character actor before he became Bond. So he is a legitimate guy who wants to go and do other things. And certainly people loved him in Knives Out.
I was just
and
say.
Logan Lucky. He's great in Logan Lucky. So if we get more performances like that and he can enjoy himself, then great. Now the question is what's her face taking over? The black actress
from Captain Marvel.
Or is someone else taking over?
So. I mean, I'm excited Phoebe Waller-Bridge is involved. That's my biggest excitement about this movie. But yes, exactly. I love Daniel Craig was one of my favorite parts of Knives Out. He was so good in it. He was so funny. I would love to see him do different roles like that. Yeah. That's not Bond. As much as he's a great – he's my favorite Bond. Is that bad to say?
No, it's not. No. He's my favorite Bond.
He might be mine.
You want to be one-upped?
Sure. Always.
Never seen him as Bond.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. You gotta remedy this.
I know. Apparently I woke up today and was like, how do I make the internet hate me as much as I can? And then I came in and did live.
Do you have a chart on the on maybe over your bed? You wake up and you go,
sure
you know what?
Did you see it and just forget?
No, I know this one I haven't. The only Bond movie I've ever seen is GoldenEye. And I played the video game growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And when Ben and I were dating, I was like, I've never seen a Bond movie. And he was like, you need to see a Bond movie. And I was like, which one? And he was like, GoldenEye, which seems like a weird place to start now that I saw it. But okay. It was fun. Mm-hmm. That's how it was fun.
Okay. Speaking of GoldenEye, did you guys see that video on Twitter that these kids made in their apartment and that they're basically being a video game guard?
Yeah.
No, what
you said
about?
That to me. I didn't put
I'm
it in.
I'm going to send it
thing.
To Cody.
It's fantastic.
I don't know what it is. But let's open up those phone lines and see what people at home are thinking about Bond or thinking about Star Wars or thinking about sex slang words.
Okay. Please watch Casino Royale and then Skyfall.
That's where I start?
Yes.
Which one's that?
The first one with Daniel Craig. Watch that. Then I would watch Skyfall.
Yeah.
Well, for sure I'm going to watch whatever this new one is.
GoldenEye.
When are you going to watch The Matrix?
Sometime, I guess.
Sometimes you guess.
I'm going to kidnap you for a weekend, and we're going to go in.
Going to soundbite that?
Wait, let me That's amazing, Cody. Let me ask you this, though. Too good.
You are sitting in Dr. Clash here.
Cody!
John Rocha.
Mr. Rocha, did you in fact threaten to kidnap somebody on the November 20th? Oh, yeah. It was a joke!
Yeah, I'm making a joke. Oh, I end up lost for days and they think that you've taken me, but really
I'm just the main
suspect. He's in jail. Bummer. And we still haven't found you.
My question for you is, you tweeted that you saw like 50 movies this week. Yeah, how did you do that?
I just scheduled it correctly because LA...
All press screenings?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
LAOFCS, which is a very proud member of that, going into my second year, we had our voting this weekend for Best Pictures, and we do an award show at the end of the year, Best Picture, all this best stuff. So I had to catch up and watch all these films that I had kind of not gotten a chance. So, and my girlfriend was away this weekend, so I was able to just go all day and watch movies.
Does she not like watching movies?
She does not like – she's not a big fan of movies. Ooh. So she loves television shows. She doesn't like movies.
She's speaking my Succession, language.
Yep. Succession. Succession. Which she quit on 20 minutes in. She does not like Succession. No, she didn't like it. It wasn't her jam.
I cannot get enough.
What does she like? What type of TV?
She's a big fan of British shows. Oh, okay. That's her thing. And – oh, yeah,
wow,
The Crown.
She should talk to Josh's wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I do not like The Crown.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, just working on you guys. Okay, I think that means we have a caller. Cool. Caller, you are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hola, guys. Mario from Puerto Rico.
How are you guys doing? Hey.
Hola, buenos días. ¿Cómo está? ¿Cómo está?
Also, hello. Oh, yeah. what do you got for us today?
Can I say something real quick? Lorena, te ves bien hermosa hoy.
Ay, muchas gracias.
That's true. Yeah.
¿Y yo no se ve hermoso?
Yeah, sí es.
¿Ah?
Both of you guys, good looking people.
Eres el número uno de Schmodan, ¿sabes? Así que sigue que va bien.
There you
what
go,
was John. That? That you just did.
He's Schmodan number one.
No, I know what he said, but what did you just do?
Pues el puertorriqueño sí habla así más adentro de mi boca, no habla así más grande. Yo se entiende cómo se habla el español así más adentro de la boca.
That's how Puerto Ricans speak. Okay. I can do accents all the time for voiceovers.
Anyway.
You're a schoonsmanship.
I love it.
You need to spend more time in New York, by the way.
Yeah. Fair enough. I would love to.
Do you have a question for us, or you just want to tell Dorina that she's beautiful? What she is.
Don't worry, Rock. You're good looking as well.
He sees my soul and gets me. Thank you.
As well.
Even though you're a casual Star Wars fan.
That was amazing.
What do you got?
So you guys talk about the Michael Jackson stuff and everything, but I personally, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, and I know the controversy, everything else. But since I'm a big fan of his music, I believe that there's too much, like, I don't believe there has to be a movie. I believe there has to be a series because...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's so much stuff, you know, the childhood, mm-hmm. the days of off the wall, the whole thing when he was, you know, when he had vitiligo, I think it is. And when, you know, the whole controversy from the 90s till now. So I believe you cannot do that in like a 2-hour movie.
Can I ask you this? Did you watch Leaving Neverland?
Yes.
And you want a different, you want a scripted series?
No. I want if it was personal for me, I believe that they should tell the whole story from both sides.
Mm.
Because I personally did not believe the documentary because there's been a couple of things that have been debunked in the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I believe that, you know, they should touch that as well because, well, I'm a big fan and I believe it's innocent. But at the same time, I do understand the people that said, oh, my God, I cannot stand that guy. But I personally don't want like a 2-hour movie. I prefer that they touch it since his childhood till now. So everything that has come out, the person, everybody.
Thank you so much for the call. Let's talk about it. John, you missed the first part of the show where we were talking about they announced that the same creators of Bohemian Rhapsody are doing a biopic for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And they also produced Rocket Man, right? Or were they involved in it? Somebody was from
Bohemian? Was Graham on Rocket Man?
I'm not sure.
But what do you think about a movie versus series? Do you want either of those things?
I would take a series over a movie, and I think for the same reasons that caller was laying it out. I think there's so much to explore with Michael Jackson that a 2-hour movie might not like grasp the complexities and present a overall fair portrayal. Doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. I mean fair portrayal of this kid and what he endured, what he went through, and how it might have motivated certain things that he did or didn't do, depending on the accusations. I think that would be fun to explore. I'd be hard pressed to believe that a 2 hour or 2 hour 15 minute movie could do that. Even if you look at Bohemian Rhapsody, you look at Rocketman, they're just snippets. Yes, he's gay. Both the gentlemen are gay, but like it's a different type of situation, and then they don't go
both
deeper.
Gentlemen, are you saying Michael Jackson?
No, I'm saying Freddie Mercury and Elton John. But we don't get to really explore all of that as thoroughly as we would, and what they endured, what they overcame, what they had to fight through, blah, blah, blah. We jump. So to me,
especially in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right. Well, and also with Rocketman, like the Bernie Taupin stuff is only in and out. There's way more to
explore.
But
at least we got to see like Rocketman, like gay stuff. And, like,
yes,
like,
we
butt,
did.
Butt stuff, which I was pleased with. Bohemian Rhapsody, there was nothing. Just
yeah,
saying.
There was nothing. Just saying. Saying right at the end that there was love. So you're like, okay. So with that, that's what I'd like a more in-depth series. And like the gentleman was saying, this idea of exploring it more would be fun and showing all sides so you can make up your own mind when you walk away.
Would it be fun?
His music is really
His music fun. I think is great. He's very talented. Whatever.
I get what you're saying. Now, fun, maybe there's going to be that moment in the movie that we get to like Thriller and the making of Thriller.
Oh, off the wall, too.
And off the wall. Yeah. And all the stuff that we know Michael Jackson as the fan of Michael Jackson.
The Free Willy video.
The Free – oh, that's right. The Free Willy – sure. But then it's like most good movies, you're going to have those moments that are going to get
– yeah.
We're going to go down and we're going to see some hard things. And you need to absolutely touch on that. That's what I was saying. How about a 3 hour biopic?
I'm down with that. Three hour, I can accept.
Because I understand it's the movie that they're going for, and they're probably looking already at, you know, Academy Award or thinking about it. I mean, it could be depending on how it lands with audiences, but this is it's going to be a tightrope walk.
But like our Puerto Rican caller was saying, if it was a series, it'd be interesting because then one of the episodes could be like a little like people versus what's the O.J. Simpson?
People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, exactly. It could be something like that where they present what happened in the sense of like, okay, this is the, you know, controversy, and they present it to the audience without making a decision at the end, right? Where they're just like, these are the facts that we have.
You didn't feel like people versus O.J. made a decision at the end?
Well, no, I mean in that style, like to have one episode of this whatever Michael Jackson biopic series.
But OJ's still alive, too.
And tweeting.
And frantically tweeting. Probably. I try to think about if Leaving Neverland had not come out, what I would be wanting to see from a Michael Jackson biopic.
Right.
And it just feels so vastly different after that doc came out for me.
That's fair.
Same.
I think, like everybody in this room, obviously, I don't know anybody who wasn't a Michael Jackson fan growing
up.
How
could you not be?
How could you not be? Yeah. His music is unbelievable.
Yeah. As big as the Beatles.
His performances are incredible. I don't know. I'll have a really hard time seeing this movie, no matter what story they decide to tell.
Have you seen any of the stuff that the caller was talking about, that they have debunked certain things from the documentary?
Yeah, I've seen everything.
So I'm curious as to if your mind has changed at all. Or
I try to like really, really educate myself on these things before feeling a certain way, because you don't want to be that person, you know. You just don't.
Yeah.
Especially with somebody like Michael Jackson, who's such a role model for so many people growing up. You know, same thing as Bill Cosby was.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to make sure you know the facts. I don't know that any of us can ever for sure know the facts. Also, I was friendly with one of the Jacksons, and he kept sending me things about like why, because he heard the show and was like, "This is why this is debunked. This is why this is debunked." I personally believe those two men. I
and
do.
That's your right.
And that. I'm not saying that other things have not happened, and I'm not saying that he hasn't done some amazing things in this world as well, but I have a really hard time with it, and I don't know what story this doc could – or this docu-series or docu-movie could tell that would be something that – I'm going to watch it because it's my job, but I don't know. I don't know.
Are you not intrigued to find out how – if this happened and how it might have happened or what motivated or what instigated
this? I think we have a lot of knowledge on that area. Okay. I do think so. It's not like it's a huge secret. It's not like nobody knows about his father or it's a huge secret about his siblings. He's been very publicized, upright, left, down, center. Right. I mean, there's so much out about him. I'm more intrigued by actual documentary footage of – and testimonials than I am of a retelling of this, because they're going to have to take a stand in some way.
You think?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know that there's a movie in which they can't at least allude to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. You can't make this movie without touching on it. That's what I fully believe.
Yeah.
If you make a just a straight up music biopic celebration of the man as an artist, however you feel about him, there is going to be a large contingent of the audience who's going to go, wait a minute, and vice versa,
right.
I think.
And the movie might be excellent. The movie might be really well done. I mean, I'm thinking myself right now, like, who the hell do you cast?
Who do you cast? Yep.
Tilda Swinton.
Who's directing?
He can do everything.
Scarlett Johansson's available.
Yeah. Scarlett is currently pushing herself.
I hear Julia Roberts can probably play.
Boom. That's
Wasn't that crazy when I texted you guys that?
Yeah. Nobody...
Cody's like, anyway, call.
I couldn't believe I missed that.
Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Ryan from Bend, Oregon again.
Hey, Ryan.
Happy to have you.
Our chillest caller from Oregon.
What's going on?
How are you guys doing?
Okay, good. What do you got for us today, Ryan?
Good. Earlier you guys were talking about movies of the decade, and I think Darina would agree Blade Runner 2049 would be one of my favorite movies from the decade, along with, you guys kind of talked about it earlier, Birdman with Michael Keaton. Mm-hmm. I think that might actually be my favorite of the decade. But as far as Watchmen goes, I have a couple things to say and then an actual question. In last week's episode, I'm starting to notice certain things that they do. For instance, last week's episode was all about Looking Glass. Mm-hmm. And we know that he is on the other side of that two-way mirror when he's watching the people for their comments on the products and everything like that. And then when he's in the mall, he's walking through and there's all those mirrors looking at him. Mm-hmm. I really think that they're putting in a lot of things that we may not know are relevant or tie together, but they are there. And then thing that I found interesting about last night's episode was throughout the series, when people bring up American Heroes, that fictitious show within the show, they talk about how it's not accurate and things like that. And then in last night's episode, not only do we find out who Hood of Justice really is, but there's a similar scene where it's either the first or the second episode where they show him in that convenience store where it's being robbed and he saves everybody and he jumps in through the glass. However, in this episode, he's in a similar convenience store, very different situation, and he jumps out through the same window. So I find it very interesting, all the things that they're doing. But my question is, even though Jeremy Irons was not in this episode, last week's episode, because we now know where he is at, how do we know that time is the same for him there?
Ryan, thank you so much for your question. Let's quickly discuss this because we got to get to our amazing guest. Yeah. But what do you guys think? Is time the same?
I don't know.
Here's the
I don't know.
What do you got, Cody?
You
now, this is
space.
A theory courtesy of my boy Christian Rubalcaba, also in the office. Hey. Every time you see the cake with Jeremy Irons, there's another candle on it. So we're thinking that every time they cut to him, it's another year.
So that's not a theory, actually. It was confirmed by Lindelof. That they are jumping a year with the cake. I believe it was Lindelof who confirmed it. Whoever confirmed it was somebody on the show.
The show gets better and better.
Which I think is pretty cool that they're doing that. Because I thought initially when they were delivering the cakes, before I heard one of them say that, is that it was just like these stupid people who, the same way that they keep delivering him all their stuff, they just like think every day is his birthday or think every day. But no, they're saying that that's a time jump by a year. Wow. But I going to the caller said, my question is, where are we now?
Right.
How does he line up?
Where are we now?
And where is his timeline hit?
Yeah. And is it more of like a memento type situation where we're going back and forth and like it, and then we're going to know how it all, you know, relates at the end, like or comes together at the end? I'm not sure.
Also, Interstellar. Remember that sequence when they go down to the planet and when they come back, that dude's like 30 years older,
right?
And they've only been gone for like an hour, so it's all a matter of
that time part of space. The movie was okay.
not best of the decade, huh?
Certainly not.
Oh, did you not like it at all?
It was fine until a bit.
Woof.
This is the frat boy thing coming out right now?
Totally. Totally. I discovered this week I'm either always 4 years old or 80 years old, and this is the four-year-old tantrum pitch. It sucked at the end. They didn't like what they did. No, I like the movie fine.
Yeah.
It's fine until it's not great.
I loved it. It's one of my favorite ones.
Score.
I would like to watch it again. I've seen it once, and it was fine.
Really? Only once?
Only once.
Guys, all in favor of Lance Reddick coming in? Raise your hand. Hell yeah. Time. Let's get to our guest, Lance, guys. He's talking about Angel Has Fallen, which I actually thought was freaking awesome.
Yes.
Can't wait to talk about that. Plus, every single franchise he's been a part of and more. We'll be back right after this commercial.
Hey guys, it's Cody here. Do you love DC movies, shows, and comic books? Well, we have good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use promo code Collider to start your free trial. DC Universe has so much to offer, including their action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, Swamp Thing, and Titans Season 2. It doesn't stop there. The highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premieres on November 29th. Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaylee Cuoco, break things off with the Joker and attempt to make it on her own. Will she be the newly liberated queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. If you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan favorite DC shows, watch classic films, and so much more. If reading is more your thing, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access all at your fingertips. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your free 14-day trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use the promo code Collider to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Collider Live is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Bisciotti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Coy and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to Collider Live, where we're already messing things up here, guys. Lance Reddick in the house right now, talking about Angel Has Fallen, a movie that all of us thoroughly enjoyed, laughed our butts off during. Question for you off the top, though, because reading a script like this, you have to be really, really well-read in all scripts to know if this is going to be ridiculous or amazing, because the premise is so wild. How do you decipher when you sign on to movies what they're going to be? Is this going to be action-packed fun, or is this too wild for the screen?
Oh, well, there are a couple of things. First of all, I watched a couple of Rick's movies before I even talked to him. And then I talked to Rick and actually signed on. I'm trying to remember if I said yes before I read the script or I made my decision after I spoke to Rick, the director.
So you needed to talk to him before you signed on for the first one?
The first film?
Yeah, initially.
Oh, no, well, I mean, I was only in this one.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm saying you had to talk to him. You hadn't seen the other two.
I hadn't seen the other two.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you didn't watch it before you signed on for this project?
No, no.
I watched it after. Have you seen it since?
Yeah, I watched it after. Yeah. Well, see, a little backstory for those people who don't know. I was in White House Down, which was
Certainly we do know that.
Yes. So I was kind of mad about Olympus Has Fallen for a few years.
Why were you mad about it? Because the premise?
Because the premise was so similar to ours, and Olympus Has Fallen came out first, and so ours tanked at the box office.
But I feel like later on, this actually happens to a lot of your projects, it had really good word of mouth.
Oh, no, later on it did great. I mean, worldwide and
Why does that seem to happen to you quite so often? Like it happened on The Wire.
Don't even ask me. I mean, because my whole thing about my television career is like, if you want a show that's going to be on for years and be critically acclaimed and get no awards, put me in it.
Fringe, Oz, The Wire.
What is that, though?
Bosch. Yes.
I mean, it's really popular.
But it's still going.
Yeah.
It's still that's the positive.
As a matter of fact, I just wrapped my last day on the sixth season last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So if I'm a production guy and Lance gets cast, I'm set. I'll buy a house. Because I know it's going to be on for a while.
Yeah, I don't know that.
It doesn't mean it's going to get awards, but it's going to be on for a while. Because all his series run for a number of seasons.
That's true. But looking at the award thing, I mean, the fact that none of the actors for The Wire were ever nominated for that.
Well, The Wire is its own thing that I don't know that I want to get into the politics of what I think about that.
I want you to get into it. Oh, Only if you want.
I just feel like, especially at the time, it might be a little different now, but it was just – there were just so many black men running around and so many different levels of power that was so three-dimensional. I think it was just didn't compute.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. There was I moved to Los Angeles in between the third and fourth seasons of The Wire, and when I first moved here, I met with a manager at a very prominent management firm, and he's black, and we were talking about The Wire, and he said, you know, I don't know what it is, but I cannot get my white colleagues to watch that show.
Wow.
I was like, wow. I mean, remember, the other thing is, remember, we almost got canceled twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is shocking because it's considered not just one, but maybe the best show on television. It's kind of crazy.
At least dramatically, it's widely regarded as the greatest dramatic series in American history.
And I think it's earned that title. Mm-hmm. I was listening to an interview with you. It was from earlier this year, where you were talking about how The Wire is doing so well now, and one of the reasons you're being cast.
I've never seen a phenomenon like it.
Yeah, well, it's pretty crazy.
The further away we get from it, the more famous it becomes.
But you actually said something that made me spit out my water because I laughed so hard. You said, thank God for millennial white men. Because
I remember saying that.
Because they look at it differently.
They don't look at – I mean, millennials just in general, I mean, I feel, at least in the United States, grew up watching The Wire and grew up on hip hop. They just don't think about race the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? I mean, and it's still in terms of kind of power, white men seem to dominate. But all these millennial white guys who are like, you know, can't wait to hire me because they're fans of The Wire.
Which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's a great show.
Yeah. And they just, it's not like, let's get that guy. It's not about, let's get that black guy.
So you know what I mean? What did the director say to you to get you you over the White House down issues residue?
The White House down thing's in the side, but that's not why I was.
Yeah, no. But like, what did he say? What convinced you?
Honestly, you hadn't seen them.
My big hesitation about doing the role initially actually was I was just like, I just don't want to play another top cop. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Literally, I've been doing it for 15 years in a row on television.
You do it very well.
And so for film, I wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. But then Rick got me on the phone, and he really pitched how grounded in reality he wanted to be. He wanted it to be in terms of what it's like. The day-to-day life of a Secret Service agent.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't just about Gerard being a hero, but he really wanted to – he really pitched kind of understanding what it is to be a Secret Service agent.
Mm.
And so that intrigued me.
I have to imagine, and I could be wrong, but that you have conflicting feelings about how often you have played a cop on TV and in films because of everything that's going on in the last – several decades, but specifically in 2019 coming to light about cops and racial relations.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think about when you're accepting roles, or is that something that you that doesn't cross your mind?
Well, it definitely crosses my mind. But it's one of those things where it depends. It depends on the role and it depends on the project. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with The Wire, I didn't know. You know, I've had a really, in terms of being a black man in America, my relationship with the police, I feel like I've had a kind of a rarefied existence. I've never had, I'm not saying I haven't run into cops that have been assholes, but I mean, I've run into as many cops that have been assholes as I've run into, you know, people check me out of the supermarket been assholes. I mean, So.
Wait, who's an asshole to you at the supermarket? Here's your bread. Here's your eggs, Lance.
You've never had that?
No, not at the supermarket.
People at the supermarket can be real dicks sometimes.
I mean, I pick people. I don't mean to pick on people at the supermarket. It can be anybody. You know, it can be a cabbie.
Pick any place.
I didn't have, especially growing up in the suburbs, although even that doesn't necessarily make you immune at all, especially when I grew up. But I just never had those kinds of experiences. Of my black male friends, I feel like I'm the only one that I know.
Oh, wow.
So I've got mixed feelings about it because I understand that it is not a hard – it's not an easy job. Do you know what I mean? So I actually have respect for the job. Mm-hmm. What I don't have respect for is the. See, the problem is that I feel like the kind of institutionalized racism that is part of the way policing is done in this country is a symptom, not a cause. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's and I feel like one of the things that The Wire really brought to light for those of us who are civilians was how political the whole drug war has always been.
Right.
And how much policing in this country, at least in neighborhoods of color, has been about keeping them literally in their place, mm-hmm. keeping us in our place. So yeah, but by the same token, you know what I mean? If I'm getting robbed, I'm not – you know, the first person I'm going to call is cop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So – and the other thing that's been interesting for me working on Bosch has been – this is going to sound funny, but – and I separate this from when I was a little kid because when you're a little – when you know, decades ago when I was a little kid, you know, I was addicted to cop shows. So I wanted to be a cop like I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be a doctor. But it's the first show that I've ever done that actually made me think in another life I might want to be a cop. Do you know what I mean? Because
of all the cops you've ever played, Bosch was the first one where you were like,
well,
maybe
it's not about the role I'm playing. It's about the show. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like more than any other show that I've ever done, it portrays what it's like to be a detective. Mm-hmm. Really, do you know what I mean? Like to do you know what I mean? And Bosch, you know, I had a it's really interesting. My son was visiting a few years ago, and he had a party for 4th of July. And so some of his friends came over, and his friends came with friends. So this young man came who was a friend of a friend, and his mother is a studio executive. Mm. His father is a U.S. Marshal and ex-combat soldier. And he came up to me. And he said, thank you for Bosch. Thank you for getting it right. Those conversations that he has with his daughter, like those are the kinds of conversations my dad has had with me. Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
What do you think they did differently that made them get it right? Did they have you talk to police officers? Did they make sure that the writers had
– Well, we've got two homicide detectives that have been kind of not only liaisons but consultants to the show from the beginning. Yeah.
And is whether it's Bosch or The Wire, I mean, you've been part of so many TV shows and movies that have been made an important impact on society. Is there something that you just recall, whether it's at the beginning of your career or now, that you're just really proud of for that?
Wow. I mean, not to be cliche, but I mean, The Wire, it's just one of those things where I knew how good it was when we were doing it, but I didn't know how important it was going to be. Mm-hmm.
Were you all theater trained? Was this because I feel like it was a lot of actors coming out of the theater, coming out of so the scripts.
You were at Yale, so.
Yeah. I don't want to say everybody was theater, but most of us came from the theater.
Because it felt like, because I just recently watched it for the first time last year.
Vast majority of people came from the theater,
and it felt like that as I was watching it. Because my girlfriend's a massive fan of it, and she said,
"You're talking about The Wire."
The Wire. We can't be together until you finish watching. So I had to watch all five seasons.
Good woman.
Rare that is for me to hear, because usually it's out here.
Yeah, it's the other way.
Yeah, I've heard women come up to me and say, my husband loves your show. My boyfriend loves your show.
No, I made my ex watch too.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was obsessed with it.
It's so well written, and the scenes are so incredibly tight, and the twists and the turns and the emotional twists and turns of the characters is so believable. Until you get the fifth season, people are going to argue about the McNulty turn, I was in Australia recently, and I just randomly turned on television, and they're showing the episode where you go toe-to-toe with McNulty, where he's accusing you of being in the bag for the other cops because you won't go after the drug bust as hard. It's the same one.
Oh, is this the first season?
Yeah, first season. And I was like, man, I forgot how combustible that relationship was throughout. Yeah. And it's because you're playing actually a not corrupt cop the whole time amongst people who constantly think that there's corruption going on.
He's like, yes.
I disagree.
You think you're not a corrupt?
No.
You think you're a corrupt cop?
Well, no. Here's what I think. I think that at the beginning of the series, I was a company man.
Oh.
And it's that relationship.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but part of it, you know, and what gets revealed over the show is part of being a company man means towing the political line.
And swallowing the corruption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, swallowing the corruption. Yeah.
But you're not corrupt.
And turning a blind eye to it.
You're not corrupt. You're just swallowing the corruption.
Yeah.
But you're trying to do a good job for the company because of your position. But even
he was very much a rank Mm-hmm. Chasey rank kind of cop. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
McNulty's the one that makes me go.
Yeah, I mean, that, I feel like that relationship, changes him. Yep. And not only changes him, but because I feel like change isn't quite the right word, because I feel like what happens is he realizes who he really is.
Grows him.
Yeah, and he realizes that what I really, really care about is the job, not the power.
And the stuff with your wife as well.
Which is what breaks up my marriage.
Yes.
So The Wire is one of my favorite shows, but it's not the only show that I love that you've been on. Dorina was saying the many, many shows, and there are so many. But one of the shows that's one of my favorite shows of all time is Lost. And I actually heard that Damon Lindelof said that they were thinking about casting you or calling you for Mr. Echo at the time, but that you were busy, that you were shooting,
probably because I was doing The Wire.
Right. Yeah. So you never heard about that, though?
I heard about it when I read it in the trades after I was cast.
And that's how
But when it was happening, no, I never heard about it.
Damn. Any thoughts on the finale? Because it's so controversial.
Oh, wow.
You know, it kind of lost
I'm
me.
I'm a huge Lost fan, so I have to know.
I'm embarrassed to say I never watched the finale.
You did?
I didn't watch the last season, so I don't even know what happened. All I know is that there was a controversy and a lot of people were mad.
Were you ever like, oh, maybe I should sit down and
– I mean, no, of course, Damon's never going to talk to me now. But
I don't think that's true, because my next question for you, obviously, something that we spent a lot of time on this show talking about, is Watchmen. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. What? Oh, well, see, because I'm a binger. It's
right. What are you binging right now?
Oh, man, I just, oh, gosh, what did we just finish? This isn't, believe it or not.
It's good. It's going to be good.
Schitt's Creek.
Yes! It's so good. It's so good. It's so excellent.
I love that show.
Wait, but I'm over here trying to push you to be on Watchmen, and then you're telling me you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet, yeah.
You've got to make time for this one. I think that this is a call to Damon Lindelof saying, this is my next project.
Oh, speaking of HBO, one of the things I've been binging, I think we just finished binging was The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah. Did you like it?
It's a great show.
I loved it. Oh, you did.
Are you not a big fan?
No, I didn't watch it because I heard such mixed things.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I didn't hear anything about it. I was like flipping through HBO stuff and I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought, well, let me just check it out.
Now, we're talking about, you know, really cool, important shows and movies that you've been on. What's something that, whether it's this recent project, Angel Has Fallen, or going back to, like, you know, John Wick, like, is there something that you're like, that was one of the most fun experiences I've had working on a project?
Well, there's a couple. John Wick, definitely.
Hmm.
The first one, it was just one of those things where I just never... there's so many things I've done that I never thought would turn into, like even Angel Has Fallen. I mean, I had no idea when I sat in that theater and watched that movie. I kept turning to my wife like, I'm in this movie. I mean, this is a great movie. This is a great movie.
Both are two of the best trilogies or action trilogies of the last decade for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
I thought it was going to be good. I think it was going to be great. I mean,
that's what I was asking about reading the scripts. Like when you get scripts and you're like, is this going
to
be good?
It's hard to tell. Right. I didn't think it was going to be bad, but I didn't because this.
You're talking John Wick now, or I'm talking
No, John Wick, that. Let me start with Angel Has Fallen and go back to John Wick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with Angel Has Fallen, I just I knew it was a good story, but there's so much of the way it was shot and the way it was edited, even the music. I mean, just as a piece of filmmaking, I feel like Rick did a brilliant job. So there's so much that that came off the page that I didn't see when I read. John Wick, now with John Wick, on the other hand, I read that script and I was like, first of all, I've seen this trope a million times, but I've never seen it done this way.
Mm.
And not only is it unique because of the whole world of the Continental, but it was so well written. And the other thing was, I was like, I just don't get to play roles like this.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, let me do it. So, but it was
by the time you read it, was Keanu cast already?
Oh yeah. I mean, literally, like I was cast. I think I got the offer. I think on a Wednesday, I flew to New York on a Sunday, and I just shot all my stuff all day long on Monday and flew home.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Yeah.
You shot all of your stuff on Monday and then flew back.
Shot all my stuff in one day on the first film.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Because all my stuff is behind the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any idea that they were planning on having a second one and a third one and that you were going to be such a monumental part?
It was built to me as this kind of independent film starring Keanu Reeves. None of us knew that it was going to turn into this worldwide phenomenon.
No, because Weinstein tried to bury it. Weinstein tried to – he was going to cut it, and that's what I'm – that's what I read.
Really?
That he wasn't going to do a big push for it, and that it, despite all the attempts to try to not give it enough publicity –
You mean the company or you mean Harvey Weinstein specifically?
Yeah. Or it overperformed, and it did all this. So they were forced to go for it because, I mean, they dropped it at a time when it wasn't – it normally wouldn't – it's like with the dumping ground when they dumped it, but people came to it. And so I think it was the people coming to see it that, like, pushed it into a sequel.
I think it was another one of those word of mouth like The Wire.
Yeah.
Which one do you like best? We have this debate in the office all the time. John Wick 1, 2, or 3?
Oof.
Wow.
I mean, we can remove 2.
Why do you want to remove 2?
They're all great, John.
Here's what I will say about 2.
Yeah.
No comment.
That's my man.
I still loved it.
Well, like obviously lots of people loved it because we had a 3.
Yeah.
I think just – well.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
No, this is what I'll say.
Okay, give it to me.
3 is my favorite movie of the movie. Mm-hmm. The first is like my favorite piece of cinema. I mean, is one of my favorite pieces of cinema. Like,
wow.
The first,
are you getting all like, Scorsese on me? Movie, cinema?
Yeah, I shit over the camera.
Oh, no.
What does that mean? It's your favorite cinema.
Oh, man. And then she asks you, what does it mean? Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm in a philosophy class.
What does it all mean?
Welcome to Collider Existential
Okay,
Talk.
So I just feel like there. The first one is a piece of art. I really feel that way. Yeah. I mean, it almost doesn't even look just the look of it and the way that – forget about how incredible the action is performed and shot. It looks – it's going to sound weird. It looks Korean to me, like really cool Korean cinema.
Like Old Boy style.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before about it, but I can see exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
I love that.
And Keanu has done a detour into more Asian cinema over the last 3 or 4 years. He's popped up in interesting stuff. He had some kind of martial arts movie or something that came out two years ago.
What was it, last year? What was it? I mean, he did Man of Tai Chi.
Right.
But he produced that.
Right. But there's another film he was actually in where he was doing that kind of stuff as well. So he's fine. He has an inclination to go that route.
Let's talk about more of your movies because Godzilla vs. Kong is coming out.
Yes.
And when I was prepping for this, I found out that this will not be your first Godzilla movie. Sure. 1988, you are uncredited as a soldier on Manhattan Bridge.
Yes. I had one line and I was cut from the movie.
Oh.
I'm not kidding.
So you were going to be in Godzilla, but then you were cut from it. And now this is – you're going to be in Godzilla in such a bigger way. That's got to be a huge –
Well, I keep forgetting I did that one. Do you know what I mean? Because it was 2 years after I graduated. And it was one of those things where I went on a cattle call. I was told that – is what I was told, that because I tried to do something so different because basically what it was a cattle call and it was like 6 different roles. You just had to read a few lines from each role.
Okay.
So, and because I tried to do something completely different with every role, they were thinking about casting me with a bigger role, but then they cast me as a soldier on the bridge with one line. Yeah.
And that's how it ended up getting snipped.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
With this new one coming, can you tell us a little bit about it?
I cannot.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
The people tell you not to.
They tell me not to, and I don't want to get sued or blacklisted.
Does it excite you? Can you say that? Are you excited by it? what we might see.
Because we're very excited.
Let me put it this way. Adam Wingard, which is the main reason I said yes, because he basically called me up and said what you wanted to do. You know, because I worked with him on The Guest.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited mostly to see what he does with it because so much of it's CGI and acting to green screen that, you know, I can't tell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as an actor, like, you've had such a long career now. Is there something that we have a lot of fans, the Collider audience, obviously they're gamers. And so you've done a lot of video game voices. Like, is there some like –
Actually, I haven't done that many.
Well, you've done like 3 or 4?
To us, that's a lot.
Okay.
That's yeah. We haven't done
– It's just Destiny became – once again, I didn't think it was going to turn into this phenomenon. It's so huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, is that something that you want to keep doing? Like, what's the difference between doing that as opposed to just being on camera? Like, are you enjoying that? Do you want to keep?
Well, any voiceover work has a different challenge, especially for somebody who's spent so many years on camera,
right?
Because you can't use your face, so you have to work so much harder to communicate stuff with your voice. So, and, you know, it's interesting because I I don't know if I can talk about this.
Save yourself.
Shoot.
Save yourself.
Okay, well, let me put this in.
Your publicists are in there like, no!
Get him out! Get him out!
No, it's the creators who made a comment about how, like, they haven't even announced you yet. I'm recurring on a animated comedy show the second part of the second season will be coming out, I think, in February. And so I went to a read-through of one of the episodes, and I only went to one. And I just couldn't believe these voice actors. I couldn't believe what they were, how funny they were, and how much they communicated with their voices, and how quickly they could change from one character to another and sound completely different.
That's John's world.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
I do voiceovers. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
It's an art. It's a separate art. The great ones, like DiMaggio and Phil Lamar, they're just incredible. Or Tara Strong, they're just incredible what they can create on the
screen. Well, Tara Strong, she's kind of almost in a category by herself.
Exactly. Yeah, she's
but
the
all
best.
Of them, all of them say that they don't get the script ahead of time. They show up, they have it there, and they create the character on the spot to go, but like have a conversation, boom, and then create it right on the spot. It's incredible.
It's funny you mentioned Phil Lamar because I've been a fan.
Phil's great.
I've never met him, but I've been a fan of his since Mad TV.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like at this point you can meet whoever you want. Just send it out into the universe.
Lance Reddick wants to meet you.
Well, I mean, I don't think I can call my manager and say, hey, you know what? I want to have lunch with Meryl. Call her up. You know, set it for next Friday.
I think Phil Lamar would have lunch with him.
I kind of think you could at this point.
Can I ask a question about Key and Peele? You did one.
Sure.
You did
sure.
one. What was that like
but
to be on
set with
those
guys? That's another one where I had no idea it was going to turn into what it turned into.
It was so
I almost
funny.
Said no to that.
What?
I was like, I got three lines. I don't want to do that.
Did you not know Key and Peele at the time?
I didn't watch the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't watch the show. So so my manager said, well, if they give you another line, I said, oh, maybe. And he said, they give you another line. I looked at it. I said, I don't want to do it. Then I talked to my agent. She said, Lance, you have to do this. You don't understand. You have to do this.
And you're glad you did.
Oh, I'm so glad I did. Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that because I've also, in listening to you do interviews over the years, I've heard some horror stories from the set from you as well. You talked about how I think you described Fringe as literal, like an experience from hell. I think that was your exact words on that. Is that more often than not what set experiences have been like for you?
No, that's the exception.
That's the exception.
That's definitely not the rule. But, you know, it's really great. You know, I was talking to I think it's okay to quote him. I was talking to when I was working on what is the show? It only lasted for 13 episodes, but also I was playing head of the CIA. Josh from Lost.
Josh Holloway.
Yeah. Anyway, Michael Seitzman, who created that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him about it, an awful experience I had. And he said something that was so true. He said, you know what? It only takes one asshole. And consistently, when I've had issues, it's almost always just one person.
And that's what it was on Fringe?
Yeah.
Damn.
You can't say who.
Don't be that asshole, guys. Then don't be that
and
asshole.
That's not the only time I've had that experience. But yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming not what it was like on the Angel Has Fallen set. How was your overall experience with that?
That was great. That was great.
So no assholes on Angel Has Fallen.
Yeah.
You can't be an asshole with an angel in your title.
Gerard and I had there was a it's interestingly enough, it was a scene that I was most concerned about. It was a big confrontation in the hospital room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I love that scene. Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, I tend to not like to ad lib because I don't come from sketch comedy, Rick believes in what he writes, but he's like, if the words don't work, let's do something else. So he came up to me, and we had shot another scene early in the morning. He said, you know, Jerry's been he's been obsessed with the scene for the last 2 months, so you just got to have my back. Just go with it, okay? I was like, okay, okay. So Jerry's and Rick are rewriting the scene before we shoot it, and I'm like, well, all I can think of is, like, I got to make sure whatever happens, that this makes sense for my character. So I'm arguing with Jerry about this and that, and eventually I said, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And, yeah, but that doesn't make sense because, and finally Jerry said, you know what? I think these are the lines that we need to stay with. And I said, okay, but look, just one more thing. He goes, Jesus Christ, with you, it's always one more thing.
Does he have that kind of authority on set to be like, these are the lines, this is what we're doing?
Well, I mean,
it's his franchise.
Yeah. I mean, well, because I don't want to make it sound, because I don't want to misrepresent it, because it was very collaborative. But at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, it's like, no, this is what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah. Because the other thing is, I don't want to misrepresent Rick either, because Rick runs his sets. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a great director. So I don't know what possessed me, but right before we started shooting the first setup of that scene, Jerry was in a corner and there was somebody with his makeup and another person with his clothes. And I don't know why I did this, but I walked up to him. I said, Jerry, he said, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, but one more thing. And he looks at me and said, yeah. I said, I'm just kidding. And he started laughing, and after that, we were fine.
That's amazing. Yes. I love that. Well, guys, Angel Has Fallen, available now on digital, also 4K, Blu-ray, DVD, and on-demand November 26th. So a perfect thing to while you're home for the holidays, having Thanksgiving. You're going to want to watch this movie. Thank you so much to Lance Reddick for coming in today. Darina, John Rocha, Roxy Stryer, Cody Hall, Mark Riley, Alex Marzonia. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Collider Live.
Cool.